Good afternoon, folks. Carolyn Evers here with, I would say, a whole bunch of news. Today, this is going to be perhaps a question and answer session, and I hope that those who are out there listening to us today will join in. Got a couple topics I want to discuss. First of all, I think this election that we are preparing for is going to be exceedingly important from the point of view that our nation is going to require a lot of attention to change some things around. And so if there are people out there who are listening to my voice that watched the debates yesterday, if you care to call in, tell me a couple things, and our audience who are listening, did the debates help you to get to know the candidates a little better? Do you feel that after watching the debates that you have held on to your choice that you had originally, or did the information that they bring forth cause you to think about your choice? I talked to the cherubim about this because this election is so close. Well, at least as far as the nature of what the news are giving us, that there is a couple people who are very close as far as their electability in the race. And our consciousness, as you are probably aware, the group consciousness is what determines a possible outcome. So as humanity moves along, and they have different concepts, different thoughts, we have possibilities that fit into place. And when more of the human race enters a certain path into their consciousness, then some possibilities become more probable. And right now, according to the cherubim, this outcome of the election is not probable yet. It's still up in the air. There are not enough people who have brought their consciousness to this to push along a choice. So with this, I wanted those out there who are listening to this to give it some thought. My sole intent is not really to become involved in politics, but mostly to let you know that it is your thinking, it is within your heart right now, what you choose, that's the motivating factor here to set up an outcome to this race. It's not a sure dunk yet, so to speak. So if you have a candidate that you really feel is attentive to America's needs, then I think you need to talk about it. I mean, look in your heart and decide for yourself, but it would just seem to me, knowing that all of this is still up in the air as far as human consciousness is concerned, work for the candidate of your choice that you feel has the heart of Americans and our country in their heart. We need a statesman now. We don't need a politician. We've had enough politicians, and I think we're all tired of politicians. We want to find a statesman. So what I'm saying is, if you're watching the debates, if you're following what's going on, and you think you have found a statesman, then I would invite you to call into the show today and give us your thoughts. I'd like to have a little bit of a discussion on this to help bring up people's consciousness, because indeed it is something that's very important. And apparently I hit a nerve. your name caller.
Oh, this is Lila.
Oh, hi, Lila.
Hi.
So,
I really hate to interrupt you because I wanted to hear the second part of what you wanted to talk about today. Yes. But I did want to make sure that I put my 2 cents worth in about the candidates and
people. I would love for you to.
Okay, I have been following what has been going on since 1960 with the what they call the Illuminati and all of the machinations of the bankers and Rothschilds and Rockefellers and all of this for many years. And I followed it very closely. And I have to say that there's only one candidate that's worth voting for. All the others have been bought off by special interests, all of them, except Ron Paul. Ron
mm-hmm.
Paul is the only one who's standing firm for all of the principles that we hold dear in the United States of America. And if people would truly check into what he stands for, they will no doubt vote for him. So that's what I want to say.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up, Lila, because something that I want to mention about this, Americans have fallen into this clamor for glitz and glamour.
Right.
And it seems like we make choices based upon the slick appearance that advertising firms set up, if you know what I mean. And Ron Paul, well, this is just my own opinion. Others might not feel that way. I don't think he has that glitz and the glamour that people look for. How shall we say this? The down-home essence of what he believes is right and true. And so I'm glad you brought it up. I'm hoping that people will look beyond what is on the surface.
Yes.
You know,
he's not the type of the, as you say, interesting speaker. He's just, as you say, a down-home man who has his principles and will stick by them.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the principles that made America great. They call him, actually, the second Thomas Jefferson.
Well, I didn't hear that last thing you said.
They call him the second Thomas Jefferson. He really sticks by the Constitution.
Well, that's wonderful. And I was so interested in the debate yesterday. I watched it all. I'm not usually one who is interested in debates because I think it's the same old stuff that they bring
exactly.
forth. But
I put it on tape, so I'll just go through it today. But I see they try to shut Ron Paul up every chance they got. They wouldn't let him really speak. And they're trying to freeze him out because they're very afraid of him. Because if he comes in, the whole ball game of the Illuminati is over.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think his chances are, Lila?
I think they're very good. I think
mm-hmm.
as more and more people become aware of what he stands for, and then to look at the hypocrisy of the others,
mm-hmm.
they will finally come around. The people who are running now have not been picked by the majority of Americans. They don't know anything about those people who were picked by the Illuminati. All of those people who are running outside of Ron Paul have been picked by the Illuminati.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad that you called. I really appreciate you calling and giving your opinion. My point in this is to bring up awareness for just how important this election is.
Yes, definitely.
And to get the right person in there, we need a statesman. And I think if we can get people interested in the process, they'll participate in the process and go to the polls and vote. And, you know, this is our opportunity.
Yes.
I see this as a big pivotal point for change right now.
Well, it's not going to change. Anyone outside of Ron Paul who gets in is going to have the exact same, no matter what they say. They're going to have to follow the party line and do what they're told, just like Bush.
Well, maybe I should put it another way. I think that we have so many challenges right now that it's going to be a very big job to turn things around
exactly.
the way they should be.
Yes.
And that's what I meant by this pivotal point. I think if we make a wrong decision right now, we're going to we're going to suffer from it in the future.
Exactly.
And it's very important to make a right judgment call on it now.
Well,
so,
people would wake up and know what's going on. There's no other candidate, really, to look at.
Well, what did he say yesterday that you felt that you agreed with or you were passionate about?
You mean about Ron Paul?
Uh-huh. What did he say?
Well, he's been in Congress now 30 years, and I've been listening to him for at least 20. He's had radio announcements. He's had his telephone. Every week he has a different message. He has been putting out all kinds of speeches all over the United States, and everything stands for states' rights, as little government as possible. It's like the Founding Fathers said, because the more government we have, the more dictatorship that we have in our lives, and the more they're robbed financially. So we want small government to get out of policing the whole world. We have 170 different countries that we're in with spreading our military. Why are we in these countries with our military? Why are we occupying all of these countries? There's no sense to it except that they're the military is a racket. People don't understand that the military wants war because the people who are in the higher ranks, they're not going to get promoted. They're not going to get anywhere unless there's war. They have to continually promote war in order for them to exist and to prosper and to be hiked up in rank. That's what they want. And so they're always for war. And the whole economy is run by the huge companies that make munitions. And this is what they want to do, is keep the wars up and take the oil and the property of other countries. It's vicious. It's satanic.
What I find interesting about what you have said, because it reminded me of this, you know, we weren't around during World War One, but just from reading in the history books, when people referred to it, that was supposed to be the first World War and would be the last.
Right.
And, I mean, if you look at the history of all, we might not have called it a war, but of all the battlegrounds that we have been in and the world has been in, it's not a very good record.
No. No, because they've all been run by the Illuminati, who makes money, not only fantastic amounts of money, but it's the power and control. The more wars they have, the more governments are concentrated, and the more dictatorship power that they have over the people. So
I don't know
more.
I don't know if you noticed this yesterday, but the people who were watching the program, they and who contacted the news people with email and call-ins and so forth, their biggest concern seemed to be the economy. I don't know if you noticed that.
Well, of course, the economy is being destroyed because of the wars.
Oh, well, Ron Paul did, I thought he discussed that very, handled that aspect very well. You know,
I know, but they laugh at him. They have a conspiracy, all the candidates, to laugh and put down everything he says like he doesn't know what he's talking about, and to destroy his image in front of the people.
Well, hopefully people notice that, and the mere fact that we are talking about this, you know, perhaps there might be people who hear our voice who would be have an inclination to look into his story and do a little bit of research and see what
good.
He stands for. So, Lila, thank you for calling. I do appreciate that.
Okay. We'll talk to you later.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Dear. Bless
bye-bye.
You. Bye. So that was one thing that I wanted to bring up. And then the second thing that I wanted to discuss today, we actually have three things on the agenda. If you had a question from the Akashic Records, I would certainly go to the cherubim and get an answer for you if we can. The other thing was, as we said, the election. And then something else is sort of a carryover from yesterday's program. And if you weren't tuned in yesterday, the first hour we talked about a book that is called Anna, Grandmother of Jesus. And this was by Claire Hartsong. And this book, according to Claire, was given to her by Anna herself, and she this whole book is in Anna's words, according to Claire Hartsong. I found an awful lot in it that I thought was beautiful, and one of the things in particular is it talks about Jesus' hidden years. And so we talked about that yesterday, what was in the book, Yeshua's journeys in Egypt, in India, in the Himalayas, in Britain, and most importantly, the kinds of initiations that Yeshua went through. You know, we have a tendency, I believe, since there isn't too much in the Gospels about Jesus' young life as he was growing up, we have a tendency to think he came on the scene full-blown, everything was just there, and he didn't have to raise a finger to bring in memory and claim his great gifts. But when you read the book, and you it's like walking hand-in-hand as he goes through all these initiations in these different sacred places, it truly is a beautiful story. And so one of the things that Anna described there is in Egypt, starting at the Mediterranean and going down the Nile, how the different places of worship, the different temples were situated, and how at each temple the initiate would go and pass whatever test that he was taught at that particular temple, and then he wound up in Cairo at what they call the Holy of Holies, the sacred Cheops pyramid. So that whole story of that particular age of the initiate, how they were trained, how they reached the enlightenment in the temple, I think was a beautiful story. Now, today, what I thought I would continue is talking a little bit about these sacred places, about the different temples and the kinds of initiations that people would go through. So this is going to be another question that I entreat you to call in and give me your perspective. If you've been to a sacred site where you experienced something extraordinary by way of energies or experiences that perhaps even changed your life, if you'd be willing to call in and share your experience with the listening audience, I would love it if you do that. Now, this is a treasured book that I've had for a long time. It's called The Mysteries of Chartres Cathedral, and it's by Lewis Carpenter. It was printed by a Lost Knowledge organization. It was originally written in French and was translated into English. It's kind of hard getting this here in the United States. You can do a search for it, but if you go to the site, if you can't find it here, if you're interested and you can't find it here, it can be found in sites in Europe. I find this particular book, I've used it a lot. I've been to Chartres several times, and it is a most extraordinary place, and I wanted to talk a little bit about it. And if there are some people out in the audience who has been to Chartres Cathedral in France, and they wish to call in and share some of their experiences, I would certainly invite you to do that, because I think it is an incredibly magnificent and spiritual place. That particular land where that cathedral was built on was part of a very old tradition. The ancient Druids had a sacred site there, so that site goes back into antiquity. And there is something in the land there. I think, as most of you know, these great cathedrals and sacred places were built on land that had a particular energy there. And in France, they call this energy telluric. The old Gaulish name for it was Wouvier, W-O-U-I-V-R-E. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but it was their designation for a snake underneath of the land, because what that meant was it was a river that snakes through the earth like a current. So this current under the ground would snake through the earth as a snake would move on top of the earth. So that's where they got the name. We call it a telluric line, so it is an energy line. It's very powerful at Chartres Cathedral, and there is an ancient well underneath of the cathedral. If you're fortunate, you might know someone where you can actually go down and see that. The pilgrims during the Middle Ages, that would be one of the things that they would want to do, is to drink from the well, because of the energy that that water contained. Now, in this book, Lewis Carpenter describes this a little bit, and I think this is interesting because he's describing what a telluric line is, and that the telluric lines, he says, springs from the movement of subterranean waters, others from faults which have brought soils of different kinds into contact, and because of the differences of temperature and so forth, they come forth, and some of this energy flows from the depths of the terrestrial magma. And so what he says is that these currents, as they surface up to the top of the planet, that it is a manifestation of life that goes on deep within the earth. So I think, you know, we hear about sacred sites, we hear about the Mary Michael lines, we hear about telluric lines, we hear these words, but we don't always get an explanation of where this energy came from, how it comes up to the surface. And those who are able to recognize this energy are able to use it. And many of the cathedrals are built over top of these ancient places, and those who understood this were able to use the energy of the area. Those who understood it used it as an aid towards enlightenment. I would say that it was a closed society that understood this. You had to be a member to be trained. You were an initiate, and you would be trained, and you would learn how to use this energy. So today, besides being telluric, we would also consider these currents as cosmic, or at least magnetic. Now, there's something else here. For people, you know, we go into some of these old cathedrals, and we don't always understand the symbolism, because these cosmic currents or magnetic currents were represented by winged serpents and sometimes birds. So places where the telluric and aerial currents met, now this would be the telluric currents coming up from deep within the earth, and they would be magnetic, of course, and then they would be met by an aerial current that came down from up above, which would be the cosmic current. And so you have two things going on. You have special places where the telluric currents come up from the ground, and then you have the cosmic currents coming down to the ground, and they are meeting. And so the ancients, how they would picture this or illustrate this in these buildings, what they show in their art is that these two currents come to earth, give the birth to flying dragons and such, or pictures where women are a half snake, or it could be, as it is illustrated in the Chart Cathedral, in one of their columns, there are two sirens, which is two birds. They're drinking from a grail cup. And this is on the inner capital. When we say capital, we mean that column at the very top that is part of the base for the ceiling. So these two sirens are drinking from the grail cup. It's on the north tower, and I have a Mr. Carpenter has a picture of that particular illustration in his book. And so if you walk by that and you didn't know this, you would think, well, that's interesting. That's a beautiful image. But what that image meant was that you had these two forces, one force coming out of the ground, the other force coming down from above, and the fact that there are two sirens meant that this was the place. This was the place, and, of course, the Grail Cup. Well, what does the Grail Cup mean? I could give an answer. I would like to ask those in the audience. I know we've got somebody out there listening to this. The lure of, perhaps the Mary Magdalene information or other lure from the Middle Ages, from the songs that the troubadours sang. What does the Grail Cup mean? I'd love to hear your interpretation. Give me a call. The number here is 877-876-5227. Now, there's something else I think is very interesting about a cathedral. As you know, there is a chamber. Now, actually, we see a chamber like this in a cathedral, but we also see these chambers at other sacred spots where there's not an elaborate building. For instance, a dolmen chamber would be inside of a cathedral, for instance. When you look at the ceiling, you see how that chamber is like, what would you say, a half moon, a half circle. Dolmens have been built in the ground with rocks where there is no building on the top. There is a place in the ground that is like a chamber that has a collection of rocks over the top that's kind of a semicircle. So these dolmens could be in the ground. I saw one in Peru at Machu Picchu, and the ancient shamans still come there and work with those. They do it very quietly. You can, when I was there, I saw some of the gifts that they left at that dolmen chamber there. And, of course, the pilgrims that understood what this was. They would travel for miles at certain times of the year to be at a certain spot to receive these particular gifts. And so, what was the Dome and Chamber? What was it and is still this configuration that is used? What is that about? Well, the chamber, which is, like I said, sort of like a semicircle if you think about it, that particular chamber on top or over a sacred spot intensifies the energies. So in a sacred spot, if you are aware that this is a sacred spot, especially if it is a place where the energy is coming up from inside the earth and there is energy coming down, you've got both the magnetic and the cosmic coming together. If there is a dolmen there and you are under the dolmen, it will intensify the energies. I mentioned this before in another one of the shows because I'm just so fascinated with the Chartres Cathedral. In one of their entrances, it's the side entrance. There is a spire on top of the church as you come into the church. Right at the entranceway, you've got the spire on top, and you've got, if you knew this, this water, the well, is underneath. So you have this telluric energy coming up through the ground, through the well water, and there it is in the well, and you have the cosmic energy coming down. Interestingly, the spire, by its very shape, will attract cosmic energy. Now, as the, if you stand in that doorway, if you knew that you should be standing in that doorway for a period of time, the energy that is coming up from deep within the earth comes up and is met at the heart chakra by the descending cosmic energy as it comes down through the spire of the cathedral. So, as one stands there, it is forming like a triangle over the heart chakra. At the base of this triangle is the cosmic energy coming up, not the cosmic energy, the telluric energy coming up from the earth, and down from above, the cosmic energy is coming through the spire, and it is forming an overlapping triangle right at the heart chakra. Now, something else that's very interesting about that particular doorway is the grid line runs through that spot and connects with the Cheops pyramid in Egypt. So that particular energy spot connects with another very powerful energy spot in Egypt. Perhaps, oh, I might be guessing at this, but perhaps it's one of the most powerful energy spots on the planet. So I wanted to bring this to your attention. The other thing is, please call in if you've had some experiences or some knowledge about some sacred spots that has intrigued you. Give us a call. Our number here is 877-876-5227. There are other things about Chartres Cathedral that I think is exceedingly interesting. First of all, because of the strength of the church at that time, these cathedrals and artwork that the masters have painted had to show concepts that the church would sanction or approve. And so, whether it was the Catholic king, whether it was the pope, it had to conform to a certain standard. But these builders who understood the natural forces of the land snuck these things in right under the nose of the authority. It's like the two sirens that are drinking out of the Grail cup. That was the sign to show people what the nature of this particular spot was. Then they had their secret initiates that they would teach them how to use the energy of the cathedral for their own enlightenment. Oh, I just found a little sentence here in the book about the dolmen, and I just wanted to mention this because he explains it better than I did, perhaps. Thus, he's talking about the dolmen, how it is an amplifier. Thus, the potency of the telluric wave attains its maximum force in the dolmic chamber, which acts like a resonant drum. I like the way he phrased that, and I know I mentioned the shape of that in the ceiling, but I wanted to describe it as he described it. Now, there's something else about the cathedral, and the other thing about the particular cathedral is the fact that it's not exactly the way it was built originally. There have been fires there, and one of the fires destroyed the roof because the roof of the cathedral originally was made out of wood. And when this particular fire came about, they replaced the roof with metal. And they did this because they thought, I'm sure, that this would be better from the point of view of fire safety. But the way the roof was constructed out of wood, it acted like a reed in a reed instrument, which meant that when these cosmic energies came down through the cosmos, entered the roof of the cathedral, it vibrated. This was another thing that intensified the energies. And so the vibration impacted the energies, there were all of these little factors that intensified the energy for those who knew what this was about. So, my friends, we don't have long before we're at the end of the hour. Give us a call. I'm really interested in your journeys to some sacred spots or some unusual things that have happened to you. Our number here is 877-876-5227. We are in extraordinary times right now. We have people who are, seeing angels, working with their guides, reaching their higher mind. They're being influenced by soul. I mean, there's so much going on right now that is changing us dramatically. New energies coming in. So give us a call. Share with us. Don't keep your gold all to yourself. Share a little with the rest of us, so we can benefit from some of your journeys and some of your experiences also. Actually, this is what we wish to do, is to share information so that we can all benefit from it. Now, the those people who were responsible for putting together this massive works of cathedrals throughout France, they had some secret knowledge that even today a lot of it is still secret. But I do believe a lot of this came out of the trip that the Templars made to King Solomon's temple and the information that they came back with. In Lewis Carpenter's book, he has what I think is a very fascinating drawing, because what he does is he lays out the well-known cathedrals that are in France, Rouen, Paris, Reims, Chartres. There's about, 7 or 8 cathedrals here. And if you had a map and you drew all of these locations, if you drew a line between all of the cathedrals at these different locations, it would make a pattern. Now, what is so fascinating about this pattern is it duplicates the constellation of Virgo. And so we see this in a lot of things that's going on in France with their cathedrals. They are duplicating something that is in the sky. Now, these are all secret messages. Messages that I said earlier that the initiates would understand, because the purpose of all of this is was to awaken, well, Carpenter uses a man, but we can add a woman in there too, awakening a man or a woman to the spiritual life. And so this was the whole point. Interestingly, and maybe somebody out there can call in with this, there was a path that the pilgrims took, and they would be at certain cathedrals at certain times of the year. Well, you know, of course, this would be governed by the equinox and the solstices. So at certain times, like the equinox and the solstices, the individual would be at a certain cathedral. Now, a couple things that are going on at Chartres. There is a window. Now, most of the glass in windows are colored. They're reds and blues and greens. They're probably the most well-known colors. And how they got their colors, actually, is they took stones and ground the stones. They took semi-precious and precious stones and ground up the stones and put it in the glass. And when a person would stand in the sunlight as it would come through the windows, it would bathe the body. It was almost like using crystals, or because certainly glass has silica in it, like the crystals do, and then they would have the ground up stones, precious stones that was in this glass, and so the body was bathed in the energy of these stones. And again, all of these little things as part, they weren't so little, but each little piece formed a magnificent story of what would happen in one of the cathedrals. I know Chartres more than the others. I have studied that more in detail, but I'm sure the other ones have their own stories also. One of the things that drew Lewis Carpenter to Chart is we were talking about the colored stones, and in a particular window, there is a little piece that has no color in it. It is a white glass. And there is a legend about Chart Cathedral that on June the 21st, when the sun is bright, as it is usual at that time of year, a ray strikes this stone at midday precisely. And a ray that comes through a contrived space in the stained glass window named for Saint Apollinaire, first on the western side of the transport. So what he's saying is, on June the 21st, the sun comes through that window through this little piece of glass that has no color in it. It's the only time of the year when this could happen. The sunlight streams through that glass and hits a particular stone in the floor. And he wanted to find out if this was true, because this was an old legend. And so he happened to be at Chart on June the 21st, and he wanted to see it, and he happened to be there that day. And he says, "What is especially astonishing about a ray of sunshine that casts a spot of light on the ground in a shadowy place?" And he had this feeling that this was a mystery. It happened one day out of the year. And if you stop and think about it, there are spots like this all over the world where the ancients knew how to build structures in such a way that light would hit a particular stone or statue or formation when a certain day was reached or a certain configuration, such as a solstice or an equinox. And so it had great meaning for people because it was pointing out something was happening with energy on that day. This was the time to go and be energized. This was the time to go and look for spiritual enlightenment. So this trip through Europe that these medieval Christians took was an exceedingly long and difficult journey. One didn't know if they were going to survive the journey because it was fraught with dangers. It's not like getting in a car, getting on a bus, taking a train, getting on a plane. I mean, these people had to go by foot, many of them, through lands that were wild and untamed. They certainly couldn't carry all their provisions with them. They were able to carry some, but they would have to somehow purchase provisions along the way. And what if they fell into robbers who took everything that they had? So for people to be willing to do this, there had to be a great urgency, a great spiritual desire, a thirst to find this enlightenment where, if you were Christian, yes, it was a place devoted to Mother Mary, to God. If you were an energy person who was not necessarily a Christian, but one who understood the energy of the land and what it could do to awaken the individual, this was a journey that was made, and it was an incredible journey, and some didn't make the journey, and some did, and some found their spiritual enlightenment. Give us a call. We have, I'm guessing maybe 5 minutes. Call with your observation, with your story, a question from the cherubim, or you might want to give an opinion about what you heard yesterday with regards to the debate. Call us, 877-876-5227. We're coming up to the end of the hour. Don't decide you're going to pick up the phone and hear I'm going off of the air. Call now. For the Canadians, we have a toll-free number for you. It's 888-815-9756. So there are many, many places in the earth that has these great energy vortexes. I'm particularly interested in Chartres. I thought I would describe that cathedral today, and perhaps another time in the past, in the future, we'll discuss some other sacred place. Interestingly, the original Templars that went to Solomon's Temple, they came from this area, not that far, and they lived on land that was part of the Telluric lines, and so they knew from little up what it was like energy-wise to have a place where they would be filled and bombarded with the sacred energy. Now, I believe that the original knights who were involved with setting up the Templars and becoming interested in that project and going to Solomon's Temple were able to read some of the records. Not only were they able to read some of the Akashic records that they were starting to remember what was there, but I believe that some of them were part and parcel of the group who actually, was responsible for those records originally and helped save them and put them in a place where they could be retrieved later. So in a sense, you might say that this was a project that they carried out over several lifetimes. If you're interested in that story, and you might be, because I know that there's a lot of Templars right now who are incarnating in the earth plane, you can go to my website, www.carolynevers.com, and if you go to that section where it says Akashic Reading, it's one of the first boxes there at the lower half of the website. It'll take you right into the Akashic Reading website, and there is an interesting article that I have written about the Templars. I'll be putting up some new information. I haven't had the opportunity yet, but some of this information that we're discussing with the cathedrals is there. And so, my friends, we have 1 minute. Does an hour go by fast or what? Indeed it does. Just a reminder, if you want to have an Akashic reading, we are now providing, in addition to a written report, we are putting the entire reading on a CD that you can play in your computer, and I think when you hear it, you pick up the energies of the cherubim. So, my friends, until next Sunday, go with God, and tune in to my show on Wednesday with Charlene at Cosmic Connections. Bless you all. Goodbye for now.